But this time we'll turn it over to Christian to finish his testimony.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Are you blessed to have been here?
Yes.
Amen. And the blessings aren't over because we have the whole Sabbath day in front of us. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So I would like to see those hands again. How many of you were actually here for the first half? Okay. Wow. So we got about a half room here. I need to know where I left off. Do you remember? This is a test. This is the first quiz. So where did I leave off? Do you remember, anybody? Oh, I left off at camp meeting. Wow. Yeah, we have a lot to cover. Before we do, I'd like to have a prayer.
Amen.
And if you want to join me on your knees, that would be wonderful. Gracious, loving, kind, long-suffering, merciful Father in heaven, I'm so thankful that you are in the business of saving souls. To be with you forever, whether they're young or they're medium or they're old, you desire for each one of us to come into worship and union with you. Father, I pray that as I give my testimony of what you have done in my life, that you would be glorified and uplifted. Father God in heaven, I love you. And I need you day by day, and I ask that you would bless our meetings now. Hide me behind your cross and help me to be a servant for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the quick recap. I've been asked to do a quick recap, and that is I grew up in a very wealthy home and I was never abused. Is that what it was?
No.
I grew up in a very poor home and I was abused every way you could imagine. I was sexually abused. I was emotionally abused, physically abused. And I lived through what I would call hell on earth for sure. My mother was a young bride. She was 17 when she had me. My father was 19. They did not want to have children because they themselves, in essence, were really just children themselves trying to figure out life and who they were and where they wanted to go and what they wanted to be. And now all of a sudden, bam, they have a little baby to take care of. And so their life was put on hold while it was just beginning to develop. One poor choice led to another poor choice. My father was an alcoholic. He was a drug user. He didn't keep jobs. And my mother had two more boys by him, and so I have two brothers, the three of us, the three amigos, and we had a very challenging life once my mother remarried. She remarried to the devil's right-hand man, and he, as I had shared with you and gave you details, which I can't get into all of that right now, but he tied us up. He whipped me so bad with the switch that I had to go and pick out in the orchard and go and whittle down, and he tortured me for many weeks before he actually carried out the corporal punishment and switched me to where I had crisscrossing raised open wounds from my neck to my heels. And so I understand what it means to live in a home that there is no Jesus. Now, are your parents perfect? Show me, raise the hands of any of you that have perfect parents. Whoa, I had one hand. Two hands, praise God. Well, mine weren't. And what I've discovered is that, you know, even in the church, even the fourth and fifth generation Adventists, the parents aren't perfect. Have you figured that out?
Yeah.
Well, they're not. Well, neither are you. So stop pointing the fingers. None of us are perfect. However, I believe if we're attached to Christ in a vital connection, we can overcome everything in our lives. Amen? You see, the thing is, your parents are just Christians trying to figure it out as well as you are trying to figure it out. And so they're going to make mistakes, but perhaps you have an opportunity that I didn't have, and that was to be raised in a Christian home where you're not being beaten. You're not being scourged. You're not being tied up. You're not being sexually molested. Perhaps you are living in a home like that. And if you are, you come talk to me right away. Because I'll help you stop it. Because that's the root of all evil and sin is when that kind of stuff happens in your home. And so I didn't have the advantages that perhaps you have, and perhaps you think your life is hard. Perhaps you think your life is not fair. I can't go and do all these things and can't do all of that. Why did I have to be a Seventh-day Adventist? Why couldn't I just be a Baptist and go do whatever I want and still go to heaven? I know what young people are thinking. I love young people, and I love hanging out with you, and I love talking with you and opening God's Word and praying with you. But you see, I didn't have that advantage as a young person. I lived in a home where there was no Jesus. At least if there's a little Jesus in your home, you're a million miles beyond where I was. So count your blessings. Amen? It may not be perfect. And you know what? I know it's not. You know, I've heard the story, if you find a perfect church, don't join it because you'll ruin it. Amen. Because wherever you are, there you are. And I figured out wherever I am, there I am. And I'm my biggest problem. And so if we all learn to individually connect with Jesus Christ, and we all learn to be His children and allow our will to come in alignment with His will, then life can be explosively awesome. You see, As I experienced in my... I'm going to advance now. So you heard my early childhood. Eventually, my mother gained the courage after I went to Child Protective Services, and we left my stepfather, Gary, with a police standby, and we left, and we were free. My brothers went off the deep end and got involved in alcohol and drugs, and eventually into drug manufacturing. They've been in and out of jail. They've been in prison. And they swung from oppression and satanic oppression to, I'm free and no one's going to tell me what to do. Now, that was kind of like in my heart as well, but I didn't swing over into all that disgusting stuff. I did explore with drugs and I explored with alcohol. And yet I think God allowed every time I was experimenting for me to have an absolutely horrible experience. And I believe in even that experimentation, I experienced something that maybe drug users experience further on, and it takes a while to ramp up into that nastiness, and God just, boom, laid it on me, and I was like, oh man, I'm not going there. And so I didn't get involved in the drugs and the alcohol. And praise God. Now, I was not accepting that there was a God even in my life, because remember, if you remember my testimony so far, I was crying out to God, and He wasn't answering. I said, if there's a God, get me out of this. If you're a God of love, how could you allow me to go through this? And it wouldn't change. Why do you think that wouldn't change? My situation did not change because my mother had a free will. And my mother had chosen to be in that situation and keep us in that situation. So your parents can make decisions that trickle down to you, and it's not your fault. Right?
Right.
Right. I heard one guy say right. Right?
Right.
Right. Praise the Lord. So, I was in this situation because my mother made the decision to stay in that. It was not God's will. It was not God's plan. It was not His purpose that we three boys and her be in this hellish situation. But because of her choice, we were. And God won't force Himself. And so I didn't know that there was a God. In fact, I hated the idea that there was a God sitting up there on a cloud, singing and strumming a harp while I was suffering down here. People would tell me, oh, you go to heaven, you know, and you play a harp and, you know what, sit on a cloud and everything. I'm like, boring. I don't want to go to that. Don't sign me up. And so I found myself somehow, some way, and I believe it was because God was my protector. I was suicidal. I wanted to take my life. I crushed my brother's windpipe in my hand and almost killed him. So we were violent children. I started studying martial arts, and I saw my opponents as my stepfather's face, and I would literally annihilate them. And they're like, whoa, 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 calm down. And I was just, you know, going crazy. But I live in a crazy life, you guys. And God took me from that. I didn't acknowledge Him, but I believe God was in my life. There, I could give you example after example of where I should have been dead. But God had an expected end for me. Amen? God had a work for me. God had a job for me. And yet I didn't even acknowledge He existed. If you're all powerful, but you can't get a little guy out of that kind of thing, I don't need your power. And so eventually, Child Protective Services, we were freed. And then we went from freedom. My brothers went off the deep end. And I got involved in theater in high school. And through high school, I found kind of escape through that. But it wasn't anything that was good for me because I was becoming other characters and putting pause on my own life and not dealing with my own issues inside. It was a bunch of lie telling, and that's what theater is. All you have to do is spend a little bit of time in the spirit of prophecy, and of course you'll find that she even makes a statement as clear as there should be no theatrical thing anywhere, even in our work, for it would spoil the sacredness of the work. And now we're bringing theater into the churches? God forbid. It's not about entertainment, my friends. It's about a connection with Jesus Christ. And so, after this, in high school, at the tail end of my high school, we moved to a different one. We moved to a different city just to be out of that. Didn't even want to see that guy around. And I wound up at a different high school where they had that good theater arts program. A teacher started encouraging me. My grades went up from just skating by and getting C's and D's to A's and B's. And I got into junior college. And I developed an interest in video production and television production. And I began to, at the bottom of the ringer, and I began to work in the control room, it's called, where you basically insert all the commercials to play back. And I was, someone just really beautiful walked in. That's my wife. Hi, sweetheart. I haven't got to that part of my story yet, man. All right. No offense, ladies. There's some beautiful ladies in here as well, but she is the most beautiful. So, she's Miss Universe, by the way. Yes, she hates when I do that. That's a beautiful color red on you too, sweetheart. That flushed embarrassment. Anyway, I went through a process where I got very excited about video production. And I wanted to go forward in this. And I had visions of grandeur of being this great Hollywood producer, director, editor. You know, blow away Steven Spielberg was my idea here. And I was in junior college and I had a professor that was telling me, you need to get out and you need to go forward and you need to get involved in an internship right away and start getting your feet in the trenches and learn production. Learn how to put things together visually. Learn this. And so this is usually something that a junior or senior starts an internship, and I was just a freshman, and I just went out and said, I'm going to get me a job. And so I didn't want just an internship. I wanted them to pay me to learn. So I went out there, and I started saying, hey, and I was knocking on these TV stations' doors, and they were all turning me down. Well, what experience? Nothing. I want a job. Well, we don't hire people that don't have experience. And I said, well, I can learn. And I just was tenacious. And I went out there over and over. Finally found one guy where I saw this little glimmer of hope where he was like, what's up with this guy, you know? And I bugged him enough to where he actually hired me. So I was now making $2.35 an hour. This was a while ago. That was minimum wage back then. So I'm making $2.35 an hour. I'm actually older than you think. I'm almost 40. But, well, I heard someone go, whoa, what? I'm still right behind the ears, guys. I'm young, you know? Amen? The health message. I'm going to live till I'm 100 if time should last. So, praise the Lord. I'm going to sing and preach about Jesus Christ until I'm old and decrepit. But the idea was I wanted to be in production, and so I was tenacious enough to go for it. And here's the lesson. If you want to be in God's work, you need to be tenacious enough to go for it. Don't wait for permission. God has already given you that, young people. Amen? Get out there. Do something for Jesus Christ. And I don't care if the conference says you can't. Well, they're not being led of God if they say that. So, I'm excited about this new career I have, inserting commercials on networks. You know, it was just the most boring thing in the world, but I was in TV, you know. And so I worked my way up through the ranks, and I went from there, and I was, again, tenacious enough to where I started getting out on video shoots, and that was my goal, was to get out there and start playing with the equipment, and I started learning about the cameras and started learning about directing, and I just kept pushing and pushing and pushing, and I wouldn't take no for an answer. I wasn't a jerk about it. I had a vision. I had a goal. And so I knew I needed to start at the basics. And I went through and I started learning production, and I eventually started working with great companies, started working with PBS and Nickelodeon and ESPN, and all these things started to really explode for me. And I was actually very discouraged by my boss, because I wanted to make commercials. I wanted to go out and actually shoot the commercials, and they were not going to allow me because I was too young. I hated that. What do you mean I'm too young? And my head, by the way, was gargantuan. I had an ego that was huge. And I was like, you can't tell me I'm too young. I can do this stuff. And they said, well, you don't have a demo reel. And I said, well, what's a demo reel? He said, exactly, that's my point. You don't even know what a demo reel is. And so I actually went out and I said, what do you need to do? And he said, well, I need to see some of your work. So I went out and started shooting commercials. Just things. I conned in the guys that ran all that stuff, and I said, I need to be able to shoot a commercial. And like, well, what commercial? I said, I don't know, I got to write one. You ever written one? No. So I just sat down and wrote a commercial. And I called up my dad, who runs a company. I said, can I shoot a commercial with you and your company? He said, why? And I said, because I need to. And he goes, okay. So, and I mean my dad, by the way, my mother remarried. And she married into a man that was a Christian. Praise God. A good guy. Third time was a charm. She finally found a good one. And they're still married today. Praise the Lord. So I called up my new stepdad. And I said, I want to shoot this. And him wanting to be a good stepdad, he said, sure. And so I shot this commercial. I took it back to my boss, and they said, that's actually really good. And she said, but you're just too young. And I said, but you said it was good. And one thing led to another. And basically, they wouldn't give me the job because I was too young. I went, and they said, paying clients wouldn't do it. So I went out and found a paying client. Do you see what's happening here? It's don't be denied. Amen? Now, that was a worldly goal. But what if you have a spiritual goal? What if you want to work for Christ? Are you going to sit back and wait until all the ducks are in the line and everybody gives you permission and your parents even like it? I hope not. Because your parent, Jesus Christ, your parent, God the Father, wants you to already go out and do something for Him. You don't need permission, friends. The parents, I hope you agree with me. Do your parents agree? Is there a parent in here that doesn't want your child working for God? Nope. So there's your permission. Amen? But my parents aren't here. Well, bring them to me if they have a problem with it. Amen? And we're going to taekwondo them. No, I'm just kidding. But we'll get that Bible and yeah. So anyway, the idea is go for your dreams and let them be dreams guided by the Holy Spirit, not by this nasty world that we live in, friends. Because the world wants to tell you that there are wonderful things out there. I've experienced everything. And you know what? It's a big, fat facade. It's a lie. So I got involved in production. This woman would not hire me to do what I really wanted to do, so I told her, I will become your competition. And I quit. And now I'm a sophomore in college, and I'm starting my own company now. I found a business partner, eventually had another business partner, and we went off and started doing great things. We wrote a 110-page business plan, and we went forward. I had Sony Corporation. I can't get into all of that. Anyway, Sony was excited about what we were doing, and everything was just exploding for us, and our businesses began. And I was going to go into direct competition with that company that wouldn't hire me. Now, I'm not saying that's a good motive, but that's where I was, okay? And so I find myself in this competitive spirit. I wanted to get things really going in a wonderful way. Our businesses were powerful. We eventually developed 3 companies. I had 32 employees, and I was 22, 23 years old. I had money coming out of my ears. And I was like, I'm the man. I was like, man, this is good. Don't tell me I can't do this. You see, I had been pushed down and oppressed my whole life, saying I'd never amount to anything. I would be a piece of junk. Nothing I ever touched would succeed. Over and over was the program I was given. I still didn't know God yet. I didn't even know, but God protected me. And ultimately, my business partner, after a number of years of business together, she just couldn't see where we could go. It was going to be awesome. She had immediate gratification syndrome, and she actually embezzled our company into the ground, all 3 of them, into the ground to where I could not recover them. At 24 years old, I had a 6-figure bankruptcy. So I had been violated earlier, sexually, emotionally, mentally, physically, and now I was being violated financially. I lost everything. I lost my cool car. I lost my cool condo. I lost my cool furniture. I lost everything but the clothing I had on my back. And I had to move back in with my mom and my new stepdad. Now, here I was on the top of the world going, can I move back in? I mean, I was defeated. Here I was, reduced to exactly what my old programming was. I'll never amount to anything. At this point, I needed some sort of work. I was looking for some extra work, and things just weren't going well for me. I couldn't figure out what was going on. I was picking up any sort of job I could get, and now I'm bringing you right back up to where we needed to be. And what time am I stopping? You said a 5-minute recap. Man, that was a long recap, wasn't it? So now I'm going to fast forward to a producer comes to me and says, I want you to shoot this thing, this program. Do you want it? Here's what it pays. It'll be a 4-crew team, just 3 cameras and a director, and I need you to shoot. I said, well, what is it? He said, it's a camp meeting. I said, well, what's a camp meeting? He goes, I don't know. It's about camping. So I was like, cool. I like camping. So I went there, and I thought we would shoot stuff, you know, about the latest tents and demonstrations on high-altitude stoves, cook stoves or whatever. I had no idea what a camp meeting was. And I showed up, and I said to the guy, the guy I was putting it on, I said, so what was this that you had, what's going on? What are the meetings like? And will we need a handheld for, like, the tent demonstrations and stuff? And he's like, what? I said, yeah, this is a camp meeting, right? It's all about camping and stuff. And he's like, oh. He goes, no. These are religious meetings that people camp at. And I went, oh. And I turned to my crew and I said, boys, put your seatbelts on. This is going to be a boring one. I couldn't believe it. Here I am now in the situation where I had rejected God because there was no God powerful enough to get me out of my situation, and now I got to sit here and listen to religious meetings. This has got to be the worst joke in the world. And so I found myself in there. I'm begrudgingly set up. I get everything set up, and we're in there, and I'm switching, and this guy is up there. His name was Danny Vieira, and he's a health reformer, and he's kind of a crazy guy, wild guy, and he's up there, and he's talking about how he ate weeds for breakfast, you know, and I'm like, see, these people are weird. And literally, he was eating weeds. He drove from his country home into the town where the camp meetings were, and he stopped off. He goes, that's edible wild plant. He's putting all this stuff in a bag, and he's sitting there going, look, brothers and sisters, the bounty of God. And I'm not eating all this stuff. I'm like going, I'm like, woohoo, just like, okay. But I liked him. He was real. And we bonded on a level that was real. And he wanted to know about me. He wanted to know about my life and where I was going in my life. And he saw potential in me. And he was like, hey, would you come after? And we began a quick friendship over those 4 days. I found myself being drawn in by what was being spoken. America in the Bible? No way. That was written a long time ago, wasn't it? And it was talking about prophecy, and I was just amazed by this. And I was like, this is interesting. So a seed of interest began in my heart. Health was important to me because my health was horrible. And eventually, Danny and I began this great relationship and a friendship. And he asked me, would you come and shoot my sermons on Sabbath? And I said, sure. He goes, but I can't pay you. And I was like, that's what I do. What do you mean you can't pay me? He says, but I don't pay people, and we don't do business on Sabbath. I said, well, that's convenient. Why don't we shoot it on Sunday then? And he's like, no, you don't. So he explained it to me, and eventually I said, okay. So I came, and I'm sitting here listening to this guy preach, and I'm like, that makes sense to me. That's just like common sense. And I brought my girlfriend Kobe with me, and she was like, I don't want this at all. Because she was raised in an atheist home. And she didn't want anything with Christianity as well. So her and I were equally yoked as heathen. And so I was very excited about what was starting to happen in my heart. I actually bought a Bible. By the way, I've misplaced it. It's here somewhere. If someone sees a beat-up Bible and it says Christian Berdahl in the front of it, please bring it to me and I will give you a reward. Not an iPod or anything, but I'll give you a reward. So I needed to experience more what was going on with this guy, because he had this peace and this joy, and he gave me his testimony about coming out of drugs and alcohol and all this, and he was just this buffed guy, and he didn't look like, you know, hi, I'm a Christian, how are you? You know, I mean, he was like robust. He lived in a beautiful home, he drove nice cars, and I thought all these people were poor because they gave all the money to the preachers, you know. And so it just kind of bent my brain, and I spent a lot of time with him, and we became quick friends. I became a vegetarian. Eventually, I became a vegan, long before I was ever a Christian, because it just made sense. And I went through some serious health struggles. Kobe and I decided to move to Santa Barbara so I could start at Brooks Institute, which was a very fine film school. I'm assuming it still is. And so I wanted to get into film production now, make the leap from video to TV to film. And so I began the enrollment process at Brooks Institute, and I got Kobe pregnant. We were living in sin, because I didn't know what sin was. That's what the world teaches you. And I got her pregnant, and all of a sudden, we're thinking, wow, this is cool, I guess. Didn't fit into my plan, but okay. And unfortunately, because of some things that had happened to her, and she had been brutalized by three different men when she was just a young girl, she was told that she would never be able to have a baby and carry a baby. Well, we realized that. And 5 months in, we lost the baby. And that became a very difficult trial. We moved to Arizona, where Kobe's parents had lived, and I couldn't find a job. At that point in Santa Barbara, that's when I got really involved in the high-end production of things, and it was very exciting. And I would drive around Hollywood and find movie sets and get in, weasel my way in, talk and shop with all these guys. And so, you know what, I'm in the middle of this great Hollywood set going on, and I'm just like, you know, this is cool. This is what I'm going to do someday. My heart would beat fast, and that's what I wanted to do. And we moved to Arizona. I could not find a job in production, and I found myself working at Blockbuster Video. At least it was something to do with TV or video, and I hated my life. I didn't like it. God began to work on my heart, even though I didn't acknowledge it was God, to where I was no longer going to be intimate with my beautiful girl that was intended. We were going to get married, but I decided not to be intimate with her because there are ramifications of that I was not ready for, even at 25-ish. I knew I wasn't even ready at 25. Some of you think you're ready at 15 or 16. You're not. You're not. Trust me, your parents are probably right on this one point. I know they could be wrong on everything else, but on this one, they're right. Because then they look back and they go, well, honey, you know, I mean, they're as old as we were. We weren't that young, were we? Yeah, whoa, we were. And, you know, when they say young, they were 20-somethings usually. It's okay. Take a deep breath. Figure out what God wants you to do in your life. And he'll take care of all that. Amen? Because my mother made a decision. Man, I got to stop right now, don't I? Wow. Well, actually, I'm singing at the main thing here. So I've got to really fast forward here. Anyway, what happened was I was very excited about this whole production thing. And then, of course, I moved to Arizona, can't find any work. And my life, I wasn't with my girl anymore. We weren't living together anymore. I moved out, moved in with a work associate who smoked, drank, cussed like a sailor, and ate meat like, you know, Mr. Carnivore Man. And here I was, vegetarian, didn't smoke, didn't drink. And he would bring women over from the bar all the time. And I'm sitting there going, I hate my life. And I finally was so, God just allowed the heat to be turned up, and eventually I just went, and I just bolted. I left. I went to Kobe and said, I'm going to California. I'm taking off for a couple weeks, and I just got to figure out what's going on with my life. Everything from great success to just like, ugh. And I went, and I had a burden to go see my friend Danny. I knew at least he would give me some good life advice. Amen? I know there's someone around you that will give you some good life advice. If you don't have someone, get my card, and by God's grace, we can give you some good life advice. And so we had this desire, I had this desire in my heart to finally say, Lord, I at least had a Bible. I'd heard enough messages now with Danny to go, okay, there's got to be a God. I mean, this guy's blessed, and he was a mess, and now he's like pretty cool, and all this changes that were happening in his life, and I wanted something. I was starting to pray now. I listened to Christian radio. A lot of stuff out. I'm a musician, guys. There's a lot of junk out there that's called Christian, and it's not just because it has the label Christian. The devil knows we're stupid enough. If we just put a 9-letter word in front of anything, Christian rap, that all of a sudden it's okay. I know I just stepped on some of your toes. Christian whatever, you fill in the blank. Christian death metal? There is such a thing. No, there's not, but they think there is. And we go, oh, look, it's in the Christian section, must be okay. Ha ha ha. As though the devil can't put it there. Right? Come on. Yeah, I'm going to put together a whole series on music and stuff like that because I think our young people are being swept away. You can't take unholy satanic beats, put good words with it, and say it's sanctified. Right? That's a whole other subject. But anyway, I was listening to Christian music, had my Bible, never read it, but I had it. It was a good prop, you know, so I had it with me. And something began to well up in my heart. And I sat there in front of my friend Danny, and he was saying, man, what's going on with your life? And I'm telling him, he just starts laughing. And I said, what are you laughing about? That's not funny. He's like, yeah, it is, man. This is great. And I said, what are you talking about, fool? He says, no, no, no. He says, you don't understand. God has a plan for you in your life. I said, well, why doesn't he just tell me what it is? This would be happy, and I'm at my wit's end, so I'm even open, whatever. And so we're having this conversation. He says, now I know you do video production. What else do you do, Christian? I said, well, so I've given him a resume unknowingly. I said, yeah, I do graphic design and layout. I managed office of 32 people and blah, blah, blah. So I read off my great, you know, assets. And he says, well, you know what? I just lost my guy that was doing a lot of that stuff for me. And friends, I sat there. And I think my angel grabbed my jaw and perfectly imitated my voice and said, I'll take the job, you know. Because there was no way I was going to take the job, man. My girl was in Arizona. I knew a little bit about Danny, but I didn't understand what a health ministry was. And I was like, you eat carrots and pray all day? I had no clue what a health ministry was. And so he's like, you know, why don't you hang out with me for a couple of days? Let's pray and fast. Because he said, wait a minute, you'll take the job? And young people, right then, right there, at that very moment, I made a decision that changed my life forever. He said, you'll take the job? I get chills right now because it's so real to me, even though it happened almost 14 years ago. And I said, yeah, I'll take the job. I'll take the job. And he says, I'm not sure. I'm not sold. I'm like, what? You just get me all, you know, whatever. And I say yes, and I'm having this moment. And he's like, no, I'm not sure. You know, I'm like, you salesman, taking it away, you know, or whatever. So I went through 3 days with him, praying and fasting. And at the end of 3 days, every day he'd go, okay, what's the Lord telling you? And I said, God tells me I need to be here. He goes, that's not what God's telling me. I'm like, well, you need to listen to God. And then we're going, you know, here I'm telling this ministry leader, listen to God, you know, and I'm like, I'm Mr. Heathen Man, you know. And then he's like, well, what is it? Second day, I'm like, listen to God. God's saying I need to be here. He's like, no, I'm not sold. And the third day, what's God telling you? I need to be here. And he says, I just don't know, Christian. I'm so nervous. You're not even a Christian. You're like, you could be big trouble for me. What are you talking about? He goes, the Adventist world. And of course, I didn't understand everything he was saying. It's like, if you say one wrong thing, you're cast out forever. And if you said something wrong, you could ruin our ministry and all this kind of stuff. And he just went, la, 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 la. I was like, whoa. You know, he's like, what's God telling you? And I told him, God told me, I need to be here for me, and I need to be here for you. He goes, really? I said, yeah. And he said, I'll give you a 90-day probation. Well, I worked there for 2.5 years, praise God. He said, one thing, you have devotions with me in the morning. I said, great, I want to learn. Apparently something's working in your life, I need to change. So we went through, I couldn't get enough Spirit of Prophecy, I could not get enough Bible. I was so blown away by everything that I read. I believe, friends, that I am a modern day revelation of the promise that there will be those who learn in moments what it has taken others years and a lifetime to learn. People think when I go and sing, and this is no boasting, but when I go and preach, they think that I must be a generational Adventist that just has it in my blood. No, I'm a generational Christian that finally found Jesus Christ, and His blood flows through me. Amen? Yes. And so He took a stone, a heathen like me, and then eventually He says, hey, I was singing one time, walking through the ministry, and He's like, I didn't know you could sing. I'm like, oh no, I can't. You know, I sang a little bit in theater. He's like, no, brother, that was cool. That was, sing again. And I was like, no, that was an old lifetime. And because now something was changing. I didn't want to be up front. I did not want to be up front. I did not want to be in a place where I was in the public display. That used to be before, and it was all about vanity and pride. And so now I was comfortable behind the cameras and doing all the back behind the scenes work. And so I eventually had this encouraging and prompting and kicking and prodding, and finally I sang a song. As my friend says, Danny says, why don't you listen to this song? He lets me hear People Need the Lord. Amen. And I was like, and I'm hearing Steve Green, you know, blah, you know, singing, and I was like, he's like, you could do that. I'm like, you're so foolish, no way. And so he encouraged me and he said, come on, you can do this. Finally he went and bought the track and he said, go practice. So I started practicing and started singing with it. And then anyone that came into the ministry, he would... You coming to remove me, brother? No. Okay. Get out of here, buddy. Go. No. That was good, Brother Rusty. No. I thought you were coming to give me the hook and say, come on, your time's up. So anyway, it is, friends. And let me give you the fast version, which was how it's supposed to start, right? But God has worked so many miracles in my life that I wish I had 3 hours with you, friends, because it's amazing what God will do and what He did for me even when I didn't call on Him. I found Jesus Christ. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I eventually, God worked miracles. We're going to put our story on DVD. It's a love story better than any lousy Hollywood script that's ever been written. And eventually I led Kobe to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? We were equally yoked as heathens, and then we became equally yoked as Christians. And then, and what was beautiful is we began a courtship in a heavenly sense to where we maintained purity. Hey, man, it was awesome. And I was just like, this is cool. God cleaned my slate. I had a brand new start from the beginning. Because He had cast all my sins away. And He cut away all the emotional baggage and the scarring that I had. And I found Jesus Christ in such a real way that my burden are coming to me. All ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, right? I was burdened down. I was heavy laden as an emotional child. And God cut that all away. I couldn't even talk about the emotions of my life when I was a child before. And you know what? I was depressed. I was a sad guy. And when Jesus came in my life, He goes, you don't have to be that way. I'll give you the power to overcome. I went from being Mr. Depressed Guy to Mr. I'm Free Guy. Amen? And I love smiling, and I didn't smile before, and I love singing, and I didn't want to sing before, and it's just about Jesus Christ taking a guy that said, okay, I'm open, and now He's moved my wife and I. We got married. Actually, Danny, my friend, married us. How cool is that? The weird camp meeting guy married me. That's awesome. You see how it's all full circle? He baptized me as well. My wife was soon baptized. We left there, that call, for after 2.5 years, went to another ministry and worked in television evangelism for about 3 years. And my wife came up and said, we're pregnant. Well, we carried that baby. He's 10 years old today. Amen? We got pregnant again. Amen. We went forward and we had a second baby, Micah. I mean, that one was like El Natural, achoo, and he was done. The first one we had problems, but the second one was like, God was like, I laid on some hands and he came out. It was awesome. And so we have 2 healthy boys. Pray for my wife because they take after me and we're all 3 a handful, you know. But pray for her a lot. Anyway, so God, we stayed here for 3 years. Eventually, God calls us to step out in our own faith-based ministry. We stepped out back in 2000. We stepped out and started singing and started preaching. And when God called me, I said, Lord, if this is what you want me to do, you got to open the doors. And you got to make the phone ring. And the phone hasn't stopped ringing for a whole decade. I mean, praise God. And you know what's amazing? I have been all over this country, and I probably don't know almost all of you. But there are a lot of people in a lot of places that need Jesus Christ. And we go to Adventist churches, we go to all different denominations, we go to public parks, we go to Salvation Army, we go anywhere and everywhere where God's people want to hear the Word of God and sacred music. Amen? And so, where are we now? Well, we're here at ASI. Praise God. I didn't even know about ASI until about a year ago. Isn't that weird? Here being an Adventist, and then I didn't even know about ASI. I'd heard about it, I should say, but I didn't know what it was. You are blessed having been here. I know it. This is awesome. And so God wants to take each one of you, and He wants to ask you this question. Will you take the job? You. Not your friends, not your parents. You. Will you take the job to work for Jesus Christ? My life has never been better. Oh, we have struggles too. But now, when I have the struggles, I have Jesus Christ to help me through the struggles. Amen? It's about a primitive godliness. It's about a connection with Jesus Christ. It's not about being a Seventh-day Adventist. It's about being a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. A Christian is someone who follows Christ, not a denomination. You know, our church has problems. Well, what church doesn't? Organizations have problems. What organizations don't? Why? Because faulty men, faulty women are trying to figure out how to be like Jesus while we're in the process of trying to run some stuff. Amen? So keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, not the problems. Keep your eyes fixed on the solution. Ask Jesus Christ what He would have you to do. And so now we are singing and preaching all over the place. We're developing a little audio-video studio that's partially built. We need to finish that building project. And we're going to start building. We're doing an awesome new TV program that is a Bible reality, Bible study with non-believers. My parents, my wife's parents, who wanted nothing to do with religion, who he and I would fight and bicker. I can't even get into all of that. He is now working in our ministry full-time as a heathen. He is. He's a heathen man working in the ministry. I told him, you know where this is all going, right? I said, by the way, there's only one thing I ask, that you have devotion with me every morning. Amen? He's like, amen, no problem. He didn't say that. He said, okay, no problem. And within the last 6 months, my friends, my heathen father, who didn't even want to come to my wedding because I was a Christian, is now giving his heart to Jesus Christ. He is now, he asked me, would you be able to baptize me if I wanted to be baptized? I'm like, yeah, well, dunk it, brother. You know, and he's like, all right, where would you do it? I said, I don't know, in some lake somewhere. He's like, that sounds cool. And I'm like, I'm having this conversation with my father-in-law. And he calls me son now. I finally have a father. And he's working with me for the Lord. Come to ASI next year because he's going to be with us here. I already told him, you're coming next year. You're going to man the booth. And he said, all right, let's do it. And so he and my mother-in-law are going to be the non-Christian students that we study with on this Bible reality series. And this Bible reality series is going to be real. They get to ask whatever. I mean, he has questions about UFOs. You know, he wanted to be abducted as a child. So, I mean, and as a young man. So we're even going to talk about UFOs in our Bible studies while the cameras are rolling and 3ABN wants to broadcast it. So it's going to be awesome. Amen? Amen? So God, the story is God can take a little guy like me that hated the fact that there was some God that could save me and He wasn't, to a place to where I had great success. I fell off of that success. And Jesus picked me back up. He led me to a saving relationship with Him, took out the baggage out of my life, freed me from all of it. And as a result, I get to sing and preach for Him wherever He calls. So my question to you is, my young friends, will you take the job? God bless you. Gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that You would give each one of us, young and old, to have the courage to say, I will take the job, Lord. I pray that You would be thick, the Holy Spirit would descend upon these young people. I pray that the GYCs and the different things that are going on, Adventist youth and all these things that are happening, Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would be with these young people. I pray You would be with us leaders and the elderships. And I pray, Father, that You would bless and anoint our efforts to glorify You in all that we think, say, or do. Father, I pray that You would stir the hearts of these young people to know what You would have them to do. Father, I know what it's like to be in that world and have that emptiness and that wandering to and fro in my heart and in my life. But Father, You have filled that void. And when I embrace that calling, and when each one of these young people embrace that calling, they will be completely satisfied to work with you. I pray that you would enlarge our vineyards and help us to save this dying world. For we pray it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
This presentation from the 2008 ASI International Convention in Tampa, Florida, has been brought to you by American Christian Ministries. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 1-800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of genuine Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. Peace. Coming soon.